I mean, if I wanted to dork around with my thumb on the screen of my phone and use an eyeball, I wouldn't ask Siri in the first place. Hello and welcome to Terrifying Robot Dog. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we're here to talk about how technology is changing the way we interact with the world. This week, it's official. Cortana and Alexa have finally exchanged friendship bracelets. Please stay tuned. Terrifying Robot Dog is next.
They're BFFs now.
I could tell because they started sitting together on the bus on the way to junior high that they were, you know, they hit it off.
Yeah.
It's cute. It's a back to school reference, I guess. I've been very like bus aware the last couple days.
Oh yeah, I can imagine. It is that time of year. It's funny because we've been back to school for almost a month here, so.
Yeah, not here. It turned into like bus central. And now that we have two cars, I've been lazy and driving a half a mile to my office. And I was like, wow, this is awful. This is really awful.
Get there faster walking.
Yeah, my bike is just as fast as the car because streets are all under construction. There's buses everywhere. Tried to turn over a new leaf and start getting up, you know, early like a normal human. And that puts you square in the middle of rush hour traffic, even mm-hmm. if you're going driving a half a mile.
Yeah.
It's like the worst part of the day. It's like, oh, the worst part of humanity is how I start my day every day. Going back to my bike. But that's not what we're here to talk about, folks.
No, it's not.
We've got a fun conversation coming up for you, I think. But first, some housekeeping.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Care to spill the beans?
Yeah, after 5 years of podcasting together, we're breaking up. I'm dumping you and decided I want to be able to get a word in edgewise. No, I'm kidding.
No, you're not. It's the only way to do it. No, but seriously, folks, the podcast that Kelly and I have done before, you may or may not be aware that we started off with a podcast called The Niche Podcast, which was very developer-centric, very even geekier and techie than Terrifying Robot Dog.
Yeah, we talked about code.
Right. But every once in a while, we do these episodes that were more about the sort of what it meant that people could code so much, so fast, so easily. And we had a few episodes that were pretty popular about sort of social implications of technology. So we decided to stick a fork in the Niche Podcast, and we started Terrifying Robot Dog. And that, you know, as you know, that this is about more the, you know, how technology is changing our world. And lately, we've noticed, like, for the several weeks running, it's been almost
science fiction.
Yeah, it's like you hear these reports. It seems like all of the tech news that's coming out now is borderline sci-fi.
Yeah. It's like it falls into two categories. It's the oh, okay, whatever, I expected that, or it's just the what you have to check and say, okay, am I reading science fiction?
Yeah, am I on The Onion?
Yeah,
you know, it's that bad. I'll be like, is it April Fool's? Did I miss some joke? And I'm gonna like check before I tweet something because everyone's gonna be like, dude, check the date.
Yeah, it's like, wait, they can read my brain now? Let me scroll up and check the date on this article.
Wait, a company is putting microchips in their employees? Like, okay. I mean, anyway, so it seems like more and more we just kind of have been extrapolating that into the future to be like, okay, what are the emergent properties of these complex systems that we're installing all over the planet and our bodies and space
and everywhere. Yeah. And so I had this idea that, hey, wouldn't it be fun to stop, just to not have to worry about the constraints of talking about what's here and now, and to be able to look at those things that are coming up and that are being developed now, and to just kind of continue with that sort of extrapolation of stuff into, you know, 50, 100 years, 20 years, whatever, into the future, and just take a look at, hey, you know, how might some of this stuff be once it's been out for a while and been iterated on a bunch of times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a generation grows up with it and doesn't find it weird in any way.
Yeah, and then it's like, okay, well, why not just take that and take those things and try and tell a story about them? Give it some kind of creative narrative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just like stories, short stories about the sort of tech in the future. I suppose it kind of reminds me of Black Mirror for your ears.
Yeah, that was kind of my inspiration, Black Mirror for audio.
Mm-hmm. Ear Mirror. So Ear Mirror didn't seem like a good title.
No, but fortunately you helped me come up with a title that I love. So
cool. Go for it.
It will be called the Third Order Podcast. And I love the name.
Me too. And I love the artwork you did for it. It's totally awesome.
Thank you very much.
Set to launch on Monday, November 20th in a podcatcher near you, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. Yes. And this is, I guess this is primarily my thing, but I'm sure you'll be helping out some with, if nothing else, you'll be my beta reader for episodes and things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I'm sure you'll be on the show from time to time, but I think this is primarily a Kelly endeavor.
Yeah. So, and I was about to say, yes, this is way too much work for me to do. but you smartly, I think, decided to at least start off doing an every other week approach, because it's a lot of work to write even a short story. You know, a 10 minute long short story is, you know, 1500 words, and it's actually probably hard to write something that short that's good.
Yeah, that's actually going to be the part I struggle with the most, I think.
Cool. So the verbal diarrhea that I have, you have when it comes to writing. So I for one, am looking forward to this very much, and it seems like a natural progression. I am looking forward to helping behind the scenes in any way I can, or even in front of the scenes if you wanted. And I think that folks who enjoy Terrifying Robot Dog will dig this too.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I want to listen. I'm already like, I can't wait. So cool.
Yes, and if it was not clear, once we finish this season of Terrifying Robot Dog, this will be the last of TRD.
Yes, putting a for rent sign on the doghouse.
On the doghouse, yep.
Terrifying Robot Doghouse.
Yep, putting up a for rent sign on the doghouse and setting up camp in the ministry.
The ministry. I seriously can't wait. Be prepared. I'm going to be whipping you every week. Like, did you get your words in?
I've started writing.
You have?
Yes.
Fabulous. Excellent. And I know we when we were originally talking about this, we brainstormed like, I don't know, half a dozen ideas like right off the tops of our heads.
Yeah. 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 So there should be no shortage of topics.
All right. Good. I'm going to be on you. And I expect the Terrifying Robot listeners to be on you too.
No pressure or anything.
No, hey. Pressure's what gets things done.
Yeah, I've wanted something to just sort of flex my creative muscles for a while now. I did this thing back in 2016 where I made this New Year's resolution to do something creative every weekend.
Mm.
And I was the first person in history to ever fulfill a New Year's resolution because I did that for the entire year.
Yeah.
I made a spreadsheet and everything. It was awesome. But I kind of, you know, I just kind of got lazy and slacked off about doing it this year. And I really want to get back to doing more creative stuff. So this is me forcing myself to do that.
Yes, it's hard. So everybody, we need to help. And that means sending lots of emails. Cool. There was something else I was going to say about that, but I guess it was probably not important. I think we hit on all the big things. Did we leave anything out?
I don't think so. Just that if you are on the TRD mailing list and want to stay up to date on Third Order and get moved over to a mailing list for that, we will be sending out some emails about that over the coming weeks.
Yep, that was exactly it. We're over 40 subscribers on TRD now. We're approaching middle age.
Thanks. I turn 40 next year.
I'm gonna be 49 in December, so I don't want to hear.
Yeah, I know. You're an old guy.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, in the future, we'll be more like, in my lifetime, we'll be enjoying 11-D-1s and other Hobbit-like birthdays, hopefully.
Yeah, yeah. And you'll be celebrating your upload date.
Yeah. Oh, that's tempting to talk about, too. But anyway, this will be enough work for 10 people, never mind one or one and a half. So I wish you luck. I'm sure everyone wishes you luck. And I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that it's awesome, because I am dying for something great to listen to.
Thank you.
All right. Shall we move on to the feature?
Yes, let's do that.
So as you could probably tell from the intro, dear listener, Microsoft and Amazon have partnered they've agreed to interoperability between their two virtual assistants, Cortana and Alexa. And what the very highest level, what this means is that Alexa which is currently on something like 11 million devices.
Yeah, I think 11 million, yes.
Will suddenly overnight be on an additional 146 million or so, give or take.
Yeah, just a small bump in numbers there.
And we both had the same reaction to this, which is, what's in it for Microsoft?
Yeah. And I know, like, it's going to work both ways. So you can open Alexa you can tell Cortana to open Alexa, but you'll also be able to tell Alexa to check for dates and appointments and events and things in your Microsoft calendar. And so, yeah, that's given Microsoft 11 million people more there than they have now. But just comparing numbers, it still seems like Amazon's getting a huge benefit there versus what they're getting.
Yeah, so I'm not super familiar with Cortana, to be honest. So I read up on it a little bit, and I went to a Lifehacker article. It was like, the everything you can do with Cortana, basically. And it read like, if I didn't know I was on a Cortana page, I would have thought I was on an Alexa page. I mean, it's like note for note, right down the list, pretty much exactly what you can do, or the main use cases that I use an Alexa for. There's like 20, 25 things on there. And it was I was expecting it to be maybe more business-like, like a lot more oriented around your calendar and a lot more oriented around your email and more sophisticated in those areas. And it's really not. I mean, it does have integration with the Office suite, of course, but that could have been a skill that Microsoft built.
Right.
So to do a sort of two-way partnership like this seems to me like a defense against
Google.
Yeah. It really does. Because I don't really get it. I mean, because the interaction model is weird.
It is.
It's like Cortana, open Alexa. And then Alexa opens.
Yeah.
Like, Alexa, what time is it? Like, I could have done that with Cortana.
It's like me saying, hey, John, can you ask Nate about that thing?
Nate's sitting right there.
Nate's sitting right there, yeah.
It's like you're in a fight with Alexa and you don't want to talk to her directly, so you have Cortana pass her a note.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
Right. to play on the junior high school theme.
Yeah.
one of the weirdest part of the announcement, which I still don't understand, is that they said, this will bring Alexa to
To the PC, yeah.
To the PC and tablets, Surface tablets, I assume they meant. And then to iOS and Android devices. And I was like,
Alexa already has apps on those.
Yeah, and Cortana's not. I mean, maybe there's a Cortana app, I don't know, but there's no way it's a Siri. Like, there's no way Apple's like, yeah, you can choose between Siri or Cortana as your virtual assistant.
Right. Yeah, that's never going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, if we're wrong, that would be shocking. So what that means is, you can't send Alexa commands to the Alexa app. Mm-hmm. But if Amazon wanted to do that, they could just do it.
Right.
Right. So that doesn't require a partnership with Microsoft. And so if the interaction model is like, oh, I can finally use Alexa on my phone by installing Cortana and launching Cortana and then saying, Alexa, what time is it? I'm staring at my phone. So if you don't have a hands-free type of experience, what you could do? Hey, Siri, open Cortana. Cortana opens. Cortana, ask Alexa. Alexa, what time is it? I mean, like, every single one of these platforms has reminders. It has create an event in your calendar. Yeah. It has how far is it to the nearest Starbucks. It has directions to home. They all do the same thing, except for Siri.
We're going down the package manager rabbit hole.
yes. What's NPM?
Package manager.
And you use that to install apt-get? What's apt-get?
Package manager.
Oh, and you use that to install Yum? What's Yum?
A package manager.
Oh, okay. In that you use that to install Homebrew? What's Homebrew?
A package manager.
Oh, okay. So it's package managers all the way down?
Yeah.
I think I did them backwards, but you get the idea.
I think you did do them backwards, but yeah.
Oh, man. I'm also reminded of the 15 competing standards joke.
Yes.
So, I mean, on the surface, this is good news for people who are into voice computing, because two of the biggest tech players, which also happen to be two of the biggest companies, mm-hmm. full stop, are are taking voice computing really seriously, which again sounds like a defense against Google, which means that Google's probably even way farther ahead with their voice stuff than normal people like us even know.
Yeah, potentially so.
Right. And I love all of this. So I like it. I like the interaction model. I think it's a natural progression. I think it's much more human, weirdly, than that sort of Novocaine drip story about, you know, like this is our interaction model, tapping pictures on a glass screen. I think it's a lot nicer. It doesn't do everything, obviously, and it's going to be a while before it can even start to even imagine it replaces smartphones. I mean, that's comical to even say, but
right.
I think it's a very pleasing way to interact with computers. So I'm glad to see progress being made, and it seems like momentum, you know, things like this happen, the momentum's going to increase at some point. Maybe we'll hit a trough of disillusionment on the Gartner hype curve or whatever it's called. But I mean, overall, I'm happy with this. I don't really get, even as a defense against Microsoft, against Google, I don't really see what Microsoft gets out of this.
Yeah, I don't either. My first instinct was, wow, that's going to be great for Amazon, because they're, like you said, they're getting their install base is going up by 146 million devices overnight. And yeah, I mean, I feel like the 11 million that they have now is probably has pretty good engagement, because those are people that have made a conscious decision to go out and buy an Alexa enabled device. Mm-hmm. So presumably that's something they want. And they might, you know, they might not have anywhere near that level of engagement percentage wise on the 146 million, but shoot, there's 146 million. You don't need there to be.
Right. I mean, I suppose that now I can control my Hue lights through Alexa on my Surface tablet and stuff like that. So like the skills, there are not that many skills in the Alexa skills store, and there's vanishingly few good ones. So Microsoft feels like they lost the developer war yet.
Right.
But maybe Amazon has exclusive partnerships with some people or something.
It could be all about the purchasing, and this is a partnership. So presumably there's potentially money changing hands somewhere. Maybe Microsoft's getting something out of it from all of these sales that are now going to be able to happen from Microsoft devices.
Right. Yeah. I think you might've just nailed it. So for a second, so before I researched Cortana, which I should really know more about, but and before I researched it, I was like, oh, interesting. And so maybe the two of them, you know, Alexa's kind of like your retail AI assistant, your salesperson, you know, your friendly, helpful salesperson who happens to do other things, like they can set an egg timer for you or whatever, but they're more like your savvy personal shopper.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, so Cortana's probably more like your assistant at work, you know, your right. whatever you call it, whatever the PC term for that is these days. And that, you know, that one's more about calendar. Like Amazon doesn't care about your stupid calendar.
Right. I mean, there's skills that you can read and add events to your Google Calendar, but yeah.
But Amazon as a company, I don't think they really want to be in that business. They want to sell stuff.
Right. I think they just make that available because it's something that people really want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it answers the why would I want that in my house question. Because you're not going to put it in your house if the only... I barely ever buy anything on it. I do sometimes, but barely ever. And it's much more... The utility of it is much more day-to-day things that really are not Amazon's core competency. So I was like, all right, maybe they're going to sort of develop their own personalities. You know, like this one's good at this, that one's good at that. For sure, Google Home is good at its own thing. It's like your brainy professor friend.
Right.
And because it answers all that stuff amazingly, but it doesn't integrate with a lot of things that I want it to yet anyway.
That's another interesting point is the article I was reading about it did say that Cortana is much better at search than Alexa is. And I know at search, Alexa is really not very good. Yeah. So that does kind of give them a leg up there and as far as being more competitive and on more equal footing with Google, maybe.
Mm-hmm. True. It's bad at that. Yeah. It's not a strength.
Yeah. Like it can look up stuff on Wikipedia, but just general web searching, I'll ask the simplest of things and she'll be, I don't know.
Yep. Yeah. I don't know that yet. So okay. So I like the money angle. Like maybe Microsoft's getting a cut of anything that gets sold off a Surface tablet, which is pretty interesting. Again, it's a little hard to imagine you're sitting there at a PC or a, you know, a Surface tablet, which has a keyboard and everything else, and you're not going to just go to Amazon, but all right, whatever.
Right.
Certainly the next generation will expect to be able to just talk to it and buy stuff. Like, oh, you know, Cortana, ask Alexa. I wish that, I don't know if you can say it like this. They keep on saying in the press release that the way that you'll say it is Cortana, open Alexa. It should be Cortana, could you ask Alexa to buy me a pair of sneakers like I bought last time?
Right.
So, you know, whatever. That's a minor point, but I just wish it was like that.
Yeah, it feels less natural to just say, open this app. Because that's essentially what it is. Alexa becomes an app and not another personality.
Right. And that's not, I think that's bad. It breaks the illusion.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be that they're getting a cut. That makes a ton of sense. And the other thing I as we were just talking, occurred to me is that maybe part of the partnership is they agreed to kind of like, you know, there's this Venn diagram of overlap with these kind of utility features that they already both offer, but maybe they just partners it like, look, you guys do the business stuff. We don't care about that. And we'll do the retail stuff. You don't care about that. And we'll maybe do a revenue share or whatever, but we'll just more or less stay out of each other's way, compare notes, and just try not to get rolled over by Google like we both got, you know, like we did last time, or like they'll probably do to us again.
Yeah, and maybe there'll be some sharing of data that will make both AIs better.
Mm-hmm. That was the headline of the article, wasn't it? So, or the lead-in, which was like, and I was like, huh, that would be, it feels a little like a keyboard tracker. Like if I'm talking to Alexa,
keylogger.
Like if I'm talking to Alexa, I don't care if Cortana launched it. I don't expect Cortana to be getting my information.
Right.
I mean, of course, that's all. Of course, anything on the computer could be recording everything you're doing. So it's really just a question.
Illusion.
It's an illusion anyway. But the intent, I think we should at least know where the cookie jar is, so we can tell if they have their hand in it or not.
Right.
You know, and I mean, I'm like my dad in some regard, where I'm like, I don't really care who has this kind of information about me, but I know that that's a horrible slippery slope.
There's a difference in not caring who has it and wanting to know who has it.
That's true. Being able to delete it or clear it or correct it. That does drive me crazy. When an automated service just gets something wrong.
Yeah.
And then it's in a database forevermore. And I'm like, you misheard that. That's not what I said. Right. You just imagine yourself in a court of law later, you know, being like, no, that's not what I said. Sure you didn't, Mr. Stark.
Yeah, like I was listening to Game of Thrones the other night, watching Game of Thrones the other night, and in the middle of the episode, Alexa says, I'm sorry, I can't do that right now.
I know.
Like, what did I just ask you to do? So then you're pulling out the app. Like, okay, what did she hear?
Oh, that's a good idea. I never thought of that, because that happens to me too. It happened the other night where, you know, Erica and I were sitting at the counter in the kitchen, and this sort of show was over my right shoulder. And we weren't talking like intense. It wasn't like a crazy intense, like fast conversation. We were just sort of like shooting the breeze about what happened during the day.
Right.
And she randomly was like, sorry, I didn't understand that. We were both easily able to play back what we had just said, and there was nothing that sounded like the word Alexa in there.
Right. Yeah, I've had it like, what? Like, nothing in there sounds like Alexa. And then it's like, I'm sorry, I didn't understand that. And my first reaction is like, well, good. I wasn't talking to you. None of your business.
Man. So you know who we haven't mentioned at all here, Apple. Hardly, is Apple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're gonna... Like, Siri is never going to be anything other than what it is now, I feel like.
Yeah, that if that's true, man, that seems like a bad move. But, yeah, I mean, they bought, what was the name of the company they bought? Was it Nuance? What was the name of the company that made Siri? I can't remember.
I don't remember.
And they bought Siri, and then they neutered it, because the founder of the company, it wasn't Nuance, was it? Anyway, whatever the company was, they, you know, the founder had big plans for voice assistant, like really grandiose. And Apple's just like, oh, it's going to be an app launcher. And he was like, what? So as soon as the golden handcuffs were off, he went and started a new company, and they were working on what he wanted Siri to be, and it was called Viv, if I'm not mistaken. And that just got acquired by Samsung, who has another thing called Bixby.
Yeah,
do you have it?
Yeah, Richard's got the Samsung voice on his watch. It's pretty horrible. Mm. And I guess that's Bixby. I don't know.
I don't know either. So Samsung even has some Android Wear watches. I don't know is it definitely one of the Samsung Gear?
Yeah, it's a Gear watch.
Okay. I don't know what the voice assistant is. I'm so tempted to get the S8. It is a gorgeous phone. Gorgeous phone. Is it?
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, Richard just got an S8.
He did?
Yeah.
Well, that definitely has Bixby on it. And
okay.
And now you're on the hook, Shannon, for testing. inside joke. Okay, so I'll bet you that Bixby kind of stinks, because when I heard this news, I was like, oh, I guess Bixby is just Viv renamed, but it turns out, no, it's two different things, or at least that's what I was told. So maybe Bixby is kind of not so great, and they're going to replace it with Viv, or at least put the guts of Viv inside of Bixby.
Inside of Bixby, I don't know.
But Apple, like Siri I could sit here and just be like, it's just so bad, it's so bad, it's so bad. Why don't they make it better? It stinks. But there's like, so I can give you specifics, like as soon as there are a bunch of reasons where it'll just shut off, like it just won't listen to you. So, you know, I've got it set up. It might work right now. If I say, hey, Siri, no, it didn't work.
Nope.
So I've got my phone set up to listen for that.
Mm-hmm.
And if the battery goes to 20%, it just automatically stops listening, which I understand that it would do that. But there's no way for me to cut it out.
There's not a setting where you can.
Right. In true Apple fashion. And there's just a bunch of things. I mean, like you'll say the other day, this is a classic example of a Siri interaction. What was the question I asked? It was something like, Siri, where's, no, God, what was it? It was location based. It was something like, Siri, where's the closest dry cleaner? And it said, it went beep. You have to unlock the phone to do that.
What?
So I'm like, okay. So I hold down Touch ID and it unlocks. And then it says, you have to go to settings. And it, when I say says, it didn't say anything. This is all happening on the screen.
On the screen.
Which, if I'm using voice commands, I'm either not looking at the screen. Maybe I'm driving.
You might not be able to look at the screen.
Yeah, I'm not touching the phone probably. That's the point. And it just took me down this path of a whole bunch. And I was, oh, God, forget it. And the thing that really galled me was that I just authenticated with my fingerprint to the phone. Mm. And it sent me to have to, it just instructed me with instructions that I needed to open the settings app, go in
there, give it permission,
find the place, give it permission, and then go back and ask me again.
Yeah.
If it just said, oh, your location services aren't on right now, would you like me to turn them on? Yes. Okay, hold on. I'll find that dry cleaner for you.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
right.
How hard could it be, TM?
Can be done in a day.
Right. But that's what happens with Siri. But when I go into, and now this is a little bit of a drag, but overall it's much easier. If I need to do anything like that, I can take the 3 seconds it takes to Touch ID and then swipe right, and I've got Google Assistant on my iPhone. And I turn that thing on, and it's going to work. It works reliably. Whatever I say, wherever I ask it to go, directions to the... I know what it was. I had to take Cooper to the emergency room.
Oh.
Yeah, he's fine. He just smashed his head at karate, but he's fine.
Oh.
But he was acting all goofy, and I was like, he was like dizzy and nauseous and stuff. I'm like, this kid gave himself a concussion.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight if I don't take him to the emergency room. So I was like, you know, and I'm tunnel vision, like, you know, I wasn't panicking, but I was in a high alert mode, and he's falling asleep in the back of the car.
You didn't want to be screwing around with your phone.
Yeah. And Siri's asking me to turn location service. I'm like, oh my God. You know, like, oh, just good. Oh, it's easy. Just go into the settings app and blah, blah, blah. So swipe right, Google Assistant. Directions to Miriam, please. Boom, done. So.
Yeah, it's easy if you're if your 7-year-old isn't passing out in your back seat?
I mean, if I wanted to dork around with my thumb on the screen of my phone and use an eyeball, I wouldn't ask Siri in the first place. You know, so it's just, you know, this is nothing they couldn't fix, but it doesn't seem like there's much desire there. I mean, I don't know.
It doesn't seem to be a priority. Sometimes it's hard to tell what Apple's priorities are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But who knows? Maybe it'll be, I watched the announcement for iOS 11, which is coming out this month. It's September, right? Yeah.
Yes.
You know, and there's a lot of multitasking. So, you know, there's some cool new features. There's compelling stuff. I don't remember anything about Siri. I think I would have remembered that. But even if they did say something, I wouldn't believe it until I saw it. So, you know, it's just, it doesn't seem like a place what they're focusing.
Yeah.
They put a lot more work into the AR kit, it seems like, than they've done with Siri. It just feels like it's just sitting there, like rotting on the vine.
Yeah, it's funny. Maybe I'm just being forgetful, but when I think about big players in voice, I don't even think of Siri anymore. But that said, I never really gave much thought to Cortana either. So, you know, maybe this Amazon Cortana partnership will, or Amazon Microsoft words. I'm struggling today.
Confusing.
Maybe this Alexa Cortana friendship. Well, you know, maybe Siri will get jealous and be like, I need to like pursue a path of self-improvement.
Like the Nicole Richie of virtual assistants.
Yeah. Yeah. Or maybe she'll just grow more and more bitter.
Oh, that would be so awesome.
Yeah.
I've said many times, I want a sarcasm setting on my virtual assistant. It'd be like, you know, Alexa, what time is it? And have Alexa go like, 5 minutes since the last time you asked me. Like, cause I want a sass setting. That's what it is.
Yeah, like, Alexa, what's the weather? It's like, look out the window. It's right there. Yeah, yeah. And I went, and then teenage Alexa. Like, Alexa, what time is it? It's like, oh, it's 3:30.
I guess.
Alexa, buy more dog foods. Fine, whatever.
Alexa, clean your room. Oh, mom! Oh, man. So here's the weird thing, though. Like, even as we're doing that, it would make it feel realer.
It would.
It would make it be like, you know, like, Alexa, how you doing today? You know?
And did you just be like, I've got a headache.
Yeah. I got like 45 million people bugging me constantly.
Yeah. Like, how do you think I'm doing?
I feel like God over here, everybody praying to me. So, yeah, everybody talking to me.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, that might be a good place to leave it.
It might be.
Yeah.
I think we've devolved sufficiently to end the podcast on this point.
Yeah, let's bring up politics next. All right, that's our show for this week. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we hope you join us again next week for Terrifying Robot Dog. Bye.
Bye.
Would you like to see Kelly and I in your inbox once a week for the next few weeks? Get new episodes delivered straight to you with show notes, links to additional content, and updates about Third Order. Plus, you can reply to any message to suggest topics for this show or others. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
To get the inside track, go to terrifyingrobotdog.com and look for the Keep Me in the Loop button. That website again is terrifyingrobotdog.com.